greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Sabbath when we come back. You know, Charles Lyell, he was one of the pillars of modern geology, and he published his Principles of Geology back in the early 1800s. Lyell's concepts are so widely accepted today that most people who believe them don't even know who it was that originated these ideas. But it's from Lyell's system of reasoning that a doctrine of origins was devised by simply projecting all of the natural processes back through time indefinitely. That way, catastrophes like Noah's flood are strictly ruled out, and this is called science. Okay, now listen to this. The sun is shrinking. That's a Newswire report. It was in the newspaper, reported. They made that surprising statement. The sun is shrinking. Now, the sun's diameter appears to have been decreasing by about 0.1% per century. Scientists have been watching for over 100 years now, and the evidence is now conclusive. Every hour, the sun is shrinking by about 5 feet. Now, if the sun is shrinking 0.1% per century, then it totals 1% per millennium. If the sun existed 100,000 years ago, it would have been double its present diameter. Then, if you do the arithmetic and go back 20 million years ago, the surface of the sun would be touching the Earth, 93 million miles in diameter. And as far as researchers can tell, this rate of shrinkage has been consistent since the origin of the sun. Now, what did our teachers tell us about the dinosaurs? Do you remember that? Well, the dinosaurs became extinct 65 million years ago. Now, you know, kids, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do the math on that kind of pseudoscientific lie. If the dinosaurs died 65 million years ago and 20 million years ago, the sun was 93 million miles in diameter, the Earth was toast long before the dinosaurs ever had a chance to become extinct. Huh? Now, this is just one more of the many examples of evolutionary propaganda that masquerades under the guise of science. Propaganda in place of science. And this is just one more of the many lessons that we teach in our Mosaic Law School, conducted twice a year here at the law school in Isabella, Missouri. If you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first. I mean, that's the place to start. Doesn't cost anything. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email machine. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org. O-R-G. All right, we're talking about the Sabbath. Sabbath day. One day a week. Everybody practices the Sabbath. Yeah. Even the atheists and agnostics and the Catholics and Protestants and Jews, everybody practices the Sabbath. Or more specifically, a Sabbath. Everybody takes a day off. We have the weekend. We all look forward to the weekend when we get time off. I don't know if that's done everywhere in the world by all people, but most people in the world are practicing a Sabbath. Maybe some of them are practicing the Sabbath. The word the Sabbath appears in the scripture over and over again. In fact, I don't see any place in the Bible, unless it's in one of these newer translations where they use the word a Sabbath, and then God rested on a Sabbath. They might say that in the New English Version or something like that. They oftentimes do. They pervert the Word of God. That's a bad practice. If you'll go to Revelation 22, the last six verses, God has a plan for people that lie about him. So in case you're one of those that have been lying about this creator. Now, you can lie about Satan. You can lie about Zeus and Jupiter and all those guys. You don't have a problem with Confucius. But this God here, the God that says that he's a jealous God, that, you know, this God that goes ballistic, goes postal every once in a while. This guy here says, you misrepresent me and I'm going to eat your lunch. Words to that effect. Read it for yourself. It's in Revelation 22, the last six verses. So, just in case you, you wanted to use the article A in place of the in describing the Sabbath day and so on, you might want to reconsider that. Because this guy's about to go postal on us again. So I said last time, let's take a look at the Sabbath day. What day of the week is it? Because a lot of people have different ideas. And the Bible has a little different idea than does the average Joe Sixpack. And I just thought I'd report that. I'm a reporter, so I thought I'd tell you that some people think it's on Friday. That's the Muslims. And they keep the Sabbath on Friday. Sorry, you're wrong. Now, Friday is a Sabbath, there's no doubt about that, and it's the Muslim Sabbath, and it's probably a good Sabbath, and it's good theology, and it's, and I'm not here to argue with you or complain about it. But it's not the Sabbath of this guy from the Hebrew Scriptures. Not that a Muslim would want to practice the Hebrew Scriptures anyway. And not to confuse now Jews with Hebrews. I just thought I'd share with you a little thought here for if you're a Muslim and you're thinking, well, that guy Gordon, he's one of them damn Jews, you know. Well, I thought I'd straighten you out a little bit on that. There are Californians here in the United States. And all Californians are Americans. We don't deny that. All Californians are Americans. But not all Americans are Californians. Now, that's kind of an important concept to grasp. Because it is true that those people over there in Palestine, you know, that call themselves Jews, they are Hebrews. I don't deny that. And the scripture wouldn't deny that either. And they are Hebrews. But they're not Israelites. And most of them aren't Jews. I hear these people are running around here and they're talking about these Jews over there in Palestine. Those guys are Edomites. They're not Jews. They're not descended from Judah. You know, you need to take a look at your genealogy here again. But they do keep the Sabbath. Well, kind of. At least they got the right day. You know, they got one day of the week. And so you Muslims out there, you should be keeping God's Sabbath also. And you should be keeping it on Saturday, the seventh day of the week. Now, I'm not here to convince you that you ought to. I don't care what you do. That's your choice. But I just want to let you know that back at the creation, he sanctified one day of the week, and one Friday. And then there's another big gang of people over here. They're called Christians. And I got a book here in front of me. It's written by Herbert W. Armstrong. It's called, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? And I thought that was quite a story. And he says, which day is the Christian Sabbath? And it's about a 65-page book here. Let me see if I got this 49. Yeah, about 65 pages. Good job. I like Herbert Armstrong. I thought he did a pretty good job. They didn't practice. They used to run a church here called the Worldwide Church of God. They didn't actually practice the law very well. I mean, they observed the Passover with bread and wine, but they never killed a lamb. And I just refer you back to chapter 12 of Exodus. How do you do the Passover? There's 53 things there you're supposed to do to keep the Passover. 53. They did a few of them. Jews do that to this day. Some of them, they practice the Passover. Kinda, a little bit, sort of, partly. But they don't follow instructions. So in the last program, I pointed out to you that, you know, God said, don't add to this and don't take away from it. So when you get the Passover recipe, you're supposed to follow it. Now most people, you know, if they pick up a cookbook and they read a Martha Stewart recipe, oh, they're real religious about following Martha Stewart and getting all of the ingredients together and putting all the ingredients in at just the right time and just the right amounts and cooking it at just the right temperature so that they can get a Martha Stewart recipe to its conclusion, which is a tasty dish. So God came along in Exodus chapter 12, and he gave us the Passover recipe. And you can't get anybody to cook lamb that way. I mean, you can't even get them to cook lamb, for crying out loud, let alone to cook it the way it was supposed to be in the recipe. And so one day I took a look at the recipe. It didn't sound very good to me either. And when I first read the recipe in Exodus chapter 12, and so I looked at that and I said, oh my God, you expect me to eat this? I mean, I'm a Scotsman and I don't eat haggis. And so I thought, oh, this can't be true. Then I followed the recipe and I actually did it. And it really tastes pretty good. And it comes out good. And the whole Passover thing is actually not near as bad as I thought it was going to be. Now, the reason I bring this up is because a lot of times people, you know, they think the Sabbath is Jewish. I mentioned that to you the last time. The Sabbath is no more Jewish than rice is Chinese. Lots of people in the world eat rice. You know, we take a look at spaghetti, oh, that's Italian. Well, I don't know. I'll bet you there's more people in the world eating spaghetti that aren't Italian than Italians eat spaghetti. You know, if you stop and think about it, there's not very many Italians in the world. And I'll just bet you that just about everybody in the world eats spaghetti. So, you know, it might have been invented by, I wouldn't deny that, you know. But the Sabbath was not invented by the Jews. The Sabbath was invented at the Garden of Eden by God Almighty himself. Long before anybody ever came along and said, hey, I'm a Jew, the Sabbath was being practiced. Even out at Mount Sinai, you know, when they were getting the law off the mountain, the Jews were there. I'm not telling you that there weren't any Jews there. The Jews were there. They're the biggest tribe, by the way. When the census was taken in Numbers chapter 2, the Jews had more people than any other tribe. They were the biggest tribe. In fact, they might even be the biggest tribe to this day. I don't know. I don't think anybody's been keeping track of them. But the people over in Palestine today, you know, you people are calling Jews, they're not Jews. They're not descended from Judah. I just thought I'd throw that out there. So if you thought you were a Jew, maybe you need to do a little research. You might not be a Jew. You might be somebody else. Not that that's necessarily bad. I used to think I was a pagan Gentile, and then I found out, oh my God, I'm a Scotsman. Oh, I'm an Israelite. Oh, well, look at this. You know, sometimes you wake up and you get a little smarter than you were last month. And you do a little research and you find out, oh, I didn't know that. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. That the Sabbath isn't Jewish. It's for everybody in the world. It's not just for the Jews. It's for all you Muslims out there. There's a billion of you Muslims around the world. And it's for you guys, too. And all you black guys in Africa and American, wherever you happen to be, it was made for you also. And it's made by the same guy. Now, it's called the Sabbath of the Eternal. So if you want to know who owns this thing, it's this God in the Bible, this Hebrew Bible. He's the God that owns the Sabbath, and he told everybody in the world to practice it. Now, the fact that nobody's doing that, you know, for practical purposes, nobody's doing that, that's neither here nor there. But I want to show you an important thing here about this Herbert Armstrong. He wrote this book here, and he says this is the which day is the Christian Sabbath is the name of the book, and he says that Saturday is the Sabbath. Now let's think about this pragmatically. Even if what he says is true, that Saturday is the Sabbath, it sure as hell can't be the Christian Sabbath. Christians don't practice Saturday. Think about it. There's about 1.5 billion people in the world, that's about 25% now, that call themselves Christians. I mean, there's a lot of Christians all over. They're not all Catholics and they're not all Protestants. Did you know there's a bunch of Christians in Russia? Did you know there's a Russian Orthodox Church? Did you know the Greeks are Greek Orthodox? Did you know that there's a bunch of Christians in Africa and in Asia? I mean, Christians everywhere. And they all keep Sunday. If you wanted to know what day is the Christian Sabbath, it's Sunday. So when I saw this booklet here, now, Herbert Armstrong was a Saturday keeper. And because he kept the Sabbath on Saturday, And he called himself a Christian. I never could figure out why Herbert Armstrong called himself a Christian. He never did what the Christians do. You know, if I think about this for a minute, if I was a Democrat and I said, I'm a Democrat, and I said, but I'm for Rudy Giuliani, and I gave $10,000 to the Republican Central Committee, and I am supporting my Sheriff Pace here in our county, and he's a Republican. I mean, what would you think of that? Would you think I was a Republican? Would you think I was some kind of a poor Democrat? Maybe a Jack Democrat? They call them Jack Mormons out in the West, you know. A Jack Mormon, a Jack Democrat. Hey, listen, you know, if you're a Democrat, why don't you stand up there and say, hey, I support Hillary Clinton. Hey, I support this guy or that guy or somebody else. I give my money to the Democratic Central Committee. I'm a Democrat, or I'm a Republican, I'm a communist, I'm whatever whatever you think you are. Herbert Armstrong calls himself a Christian. And then he says, well, what day is the Christian Sabbath? And he says it's on Saturday. Now, there's a billion Catholics in the world. That's about, one person out of every six. Then there's about 300 million Protestants. If you take a look at the Baptists, and the Lutherans, and the Methodists, and the Presbyterians, and the Nazarenes, and all of these daughter churches that came out of Catholicism calling themselves Protestants, they all keep Sunday. If you want to know what day is the Christian Sabbath, it is Sunday. Now, there's a few little Christian sects over here, like the Seventh-day Adventists and the Seventh-day Baptists and the Seventh-day this and the Yahweh people and a few others out there that keep the Sabbath on Saturday. Now, why you people call yourselves Christians is way, way over my head. Because the Sabbath is probably the single most important of the Ten Commandments. Yeah. Single most important. It is, I reported this to you, I think, in the first program. It is a sign between you and your Creator. It's the badge that you wear that identifies you as one of His people. It's like circumcision. If you're not circumcised, well, then, for you girls over there, it's not too important, but for us guys out here, it's pretty important to be circumcised. So that I'd throw that out there for your consideration. Because it identifies us. It's a sign. It's a badge. It's something that we wear right there in our skin. Real, real personal-like, So, Herbert Armstrong, he wrote a neat little section here. It's on page 16, so I thought I'd give him credit where credit's due. And I like this. Because here's a Catholic guy over here. His name is James Cardinal Gibbons. And this is the text from Cardinal Gibbons' book, Faith of Our Fathers. It says, Catholics admit the Bible gives no authority for changing the day of worship from Sabbath to Sunday. I just thought I'd throw that out there. The Catholics changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. The Jews just never changed. They had the Sabbath day on Saturday, and they've always been practicing the Sabbath on Saturday. And the Israelites, we gave up the Sabbath clear back in 900 B.C. Right after Solomon died, his boy Jeroboam took over. Rehoboam, I'll take that back. Rehoboam took over, fomented a revolution, and Jeroboam, very similar to Rehoboam, but his name was Jerry Boehm instead of Roe Boehm. And Jerry took our people, the Israelites, into pagan idolatry by changing the Sabbath from the seventh day to the eighth day, which was Sunday worship. Now, the pagans in the world have always kept Sunday. Sunday has been the day of the sun. That's why it's called Sunday. Can you get that? That isn't too difficult. Sunday, the day of the sun. And people have been worshiping the sun. The Japanese worship the sun. In fact, they got it on their flag. It's called the land of the rising sun. The Japanese are sun worshipers. They're pagan sun worshippers, been that way for thousands of years. Now, why we over here in the Christian West would want to follow the Japanese pagan sun deity, I don't know. But, you know, for some reason, we thought it was a good idea, so we did it. Now, the guy that changed this in modern times, was, you know, say relatively modern times, that's this side of B.C., was a guy by the name of Constantine. And Constantine was a pagan. He was a Mithra worshiper, and the Mithra religion, they practiced sun day. They worshiped the sun. So when he became the emperor of Rome, he wanted the Christians, you know, the people that were the outsiders, he wanted them. They were practicing Saturday, and he wanted them to practice Sunday. And so he incorporated into the Roman Church Mithra religion. So he took over the Catholic Church, introduced Mithra religion, and presto, changeo, we've now got Christianity with Sunday keeping. And if you want to check this out, just go to any Catholic encyclopedia. Go to the guys that changed it and ask them. They'll tell you. Now, when Martin Luther led his rebellion against the Catholic Church, he didn't lead the rebellion far enough or fast enough. And when they left the Catholic Church, they kept Sunday as the Sabbath, which is fine. I mean, they're pagans in every other way, so why would they want to change that? Protestantism, in reality, is Mithraism, Catholicism, in a different name, different guise. And remember that this God over here has told us now, he says, don't add to this and don't take away from it. So if you wanted to keep the Sabbath, you'd just go to the Bible and get the seven indici for keeping the Sabbath. You know, buying, selling, trading, working, kindling a fire, doing your own pleasure, doing business, and assembling yourselves together on the Sabbath. There's seven things there you need to do. And of course, if you don't do those seven things, or if you do the opposite, that is, you're out buying, selling, trading, doing business, eating down at Denny's, you know, and you don't assemble yourselves on the Sabbath, and you're doing your own pleasure by going to the Super Bowl, or you can't go to the Super Bowl on Saturday because that's a Sunday event, but you could go to the World Series on Saturday or the baseball game and do your own pleasure. Well, then you're in violation of that Sabbath commandment. It's just that simple. No big mystery about it. And then there's a choice for you to make. You know, did you want to follow this God here in the Bible, or did you want to follow some other God? And of course, most people want to follow another God. Now, watch this. There's about 1 billion Muslims in the world. In fact, as I understand it, it's about the same number of Christians as there are Muslims. It's around 1,300,000,000. And that just happens to be about the same number of Christians, about 1,300,000,000. So that's about 2.6 billion. Now, there's about 6.5 billion people in the world. So about one-third of all the people in the world, one-third, are keeping the Sabbath on any day but Saturday. Any day but Saturday. Now, how many people keep the Sabbath on Saturday? How many people do you know keep the Sabbath on Saturday? Well, there's the Jews. Now, I'm going to presume that every Jew that draws breath keeps the Sabbath on Saturday. There's about 15 to 20 million Jews in the world. You know, people that actually call themselves Jews. There's another 60 or 80 million people that are descended from Judah that don't call themselves Jews and don't have a clue as to where their genealogy lies. They all practice Sunday, and most of them are Christians. So the descendants of Judah are Christians, and they practice Christianity, which is Sunday worship. Just take a look at how many Edomites there are in the world that practice Saturday, about 20 million. Not very many out of 6.5 billion. Not very many. All right, now how many Christian groups, organizations, sects, and etc. practice Saturday? Well, the Worldwide Church of God did, and they had about 100,000 people. How many Seventh-day Adventists are there? Are there 3 million Adventists in the world? I doubt it. I doubt it. I'll bet you if you took every Saturday, Seventh-day Sabbath keeper in the world, I doubt if you could come up with 10 million. I doubt it, seriously. If you got some numbers that would indicate that there's more than 10 million Sabbath keepers in the world, I would be amazed. I'd be grateful to you if you'd send me an email and say, hey, Gordon, you're wrong again. Second time this year. On Sabbath deals, you know, you got that one wrong. There's 30 million Sabbath keepers out there. All right, come up with a number. it isn't going to be anywhere near 2.6 billion people. All right, now, there's a bunch of other people in the world. A bunch of others. What day of the week do all the rest of the people in the world practice? It's Sunday, because they're sun worshipers. Now take the Japanese, they're Shintoists. They all observe Sunday. You take all the Orthodox Christians in the world, they practice Sunday. Take all the Chinese, they all practice Sunday. Take all the people in India, what day of the week do they keep the Sabbath on? Assuming that they have a Sabbath, and nearly everybody in the world does. Everybody in the world's got this day that they're going to go to church, the day they're going to go to the temple, the day that they're going to worship God, the day, whatever day of the week that is. Come on, come on. Let's come to a conclusion here. Now, I want you to read this pivotal text again. Jesus said the Sabbath was made. It was one of those things that was made. It had to have a maker who then made the Sabbath. God is the creator. But it is written in Ephesians 3:9, God who created all things by Jesus Christ. John's gospel begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of his as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him in John 1:1. The Word was Christ. Christ was with God the Father from eternity. Christ was God. The Savior, the Messiah, was the Creator who said the words, "Let there be light." He's the guy that created Adam and Eve. Now, there's two of these gods. One of them is called God the Father. The other one's called God the Son. We call him Jesus. That's not his name, but then that's a story for another day. But we call him Jesus over here in the Western world. And we worship Jesus, and we go to church on Sunday, and we all call ourselves Christians, and we keep the Sabbath on Sunday. So if you want to know what day of the week Christians keep the Sabbath, or what day is the Christian Sabbath, not that I necessarily want to disagree with Mr. Armstrong here, but I just wanted to point out to you that Mr. Armstrong, I think, made an error there. And you Seventh-day Adventists out there, you all call yourselves Christians, but I can't for the life of me understand why you would want to call yourselves Christians. I mean, Christians don't follow the Sabbath. So why don't you come up for a little different name for yourselves and say, well, we're Hebrews, or well, we're practitioners of, or we're followers of, or we do this or that or something else. I think you'd be money ahead if you did that. All right. Now that's not the whole story here on the Sabbath, but to give you the bottom line as to what day of the week the Sabbath is. Number one, go to the calendar and you'll see Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the seventh day of the week. The weekly cycle has been the same since Jesus' time, 2,000 years ago. The calendar was changed in 1756. 2 weeks were dropped out of it. But the weekly cycle was not changed. And Joshua's long day doesn't count anymore because we know Jesus was keeping the Sabbath on the right day when he was here. Joshua's long day occurred B.C., long, long time ago, before Christ came on the scene the second time. All right, so now with that out of the way, Joshua's long day is not an impediment. The change in the calendar in 1756 to the Julian calendar was not a change, not a problem. All right, now, how come we're not keeping Saturday? Well, because the Catholics changed it. And the guy that changed it was Constantine, and it was done at a big meeting. They called it the Quarto Decimini Controversy. Don't ask me to spell that. Quarto Decimini Controversy. Hell, I might not even be able to pronounce it right, but I'm getting close. And Constantine walked in the door, and he was a dictator at the time, and he said, you know, I think that we all ought to be unanimous in this thing of the Sabbath. And therefore, I'm going to decree that we all keep Sunday, and anybody that Judaizes needs to be killed. And so he went out and killed a bunch of people. This drove the Sabbath keepers underground. Now, in the first 3 centuries, we didn't have a problem. In the first 3 centuries, everything was going along fine. In the first 100 years, second 100 years, third 100 years, you know, we were doing okay. But in that third 100 years, things got to be a little bit touchy. When Constantine changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, the Roman Empire started keeping it. And if they caught you out here and you weren't keeping the Sabbath on Sunday, or if they caught you Judaizing over here, take you out and kill you. And as a result of that, most people made a conversion. Now, the Jews didn't. The Jews split and ran. They left the countryside. And they have been keeping the Sabbath clandestinely and secretly, you know, for the last couple thousand years. And here's another little proof for you. Do you know what day of the week the Jews keep the Sabbath on? Every Christian can tell you the answer to that. Oh, yeah, they keep it on Saturday. Yeah. And so what we do is we call Sunday the Lord's Day. We don't call it the Sabbath. We call it the Lord's Day. Christians over here in the West. Every Christian knows what day the Sabbath day is because every Christian knows the Jews keep it on Saturday. And everybody knows Jesus was a Jew. It says very plainly that our Lord is proceeded out of or came from Judah. Judah. Jesus was a real Jew. The people that call themselves Jews today really aren't Jews, but they think they are. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're at the halfway point here in the program. And you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet every day. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desks. If you'd like more information, go to the homeschooling page on our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed to the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967 for that free introductory CD set. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station, and that's because they're too controversial. And those people don't want to be identified with a radical right-wing reactionary kook like me. So don't blame them. Blame me. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the Sabbath day, the Sabbath from the Scripture, from the Bible. All right, now there's a number of proofs here that the Sabbath is on Saturday. Number one, you go to the Catholic Encyclopedia. They're the guys that changed it. Those are the guys that can give you the straight skinny and tell you, yep, we're the guys that changed it, and we had the authority to do that. They claim that they've got the authority to do that. I find that hard to believe. I showed you in the last program. We're specifically barred. This is called collaterally estopped for making any changes in the Scripture. I know what the Pope says, but the Pope hasn't always been right. I know the Pope said the world was flat and that the sun circled around the earth, but the Pope was wrong on both counts. And when the Pope says he's got the authority to change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, he's wrong again. That's the third time. They're not wrong very often, but he's wrong three times out of three. Okay, now, so get that one through your head. That's what the Scripture says. I didn't say it. It wasn't me. Don't get mad at me now. You go get mad at this God over here. Take it up with him. He said, don't you add to this and don't you take away from it. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, not the Pope. Then he says, it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. He says, this Sabbath thing over here is profitable. Profitable. Now, when we took our break here, I was talking about the Japanese. Now, the Japanese, the Chinese, and the Indians, they represent a big block of people on planet Earth. The Chinese have a billion, the Indians have a billion, and the Japanese have about 100 million. They're not very significant, but there is a bunch of them. And they're Sunday worshipers, sun worshipers. And so are the Chinese and so are the Indians. Now, this leaves all the rest of the South Vietnamese and Laotians and all the Africans and so on. All the South Americans. See, everybody over here in the Western world, that is the United States, Canada, Mexico on south, they're all Catholics. You know, by and large, Catholics and Protestants, they're all Christians. And then when you get into Europe, they're all Christians. And you go on down the Mediterranean until you get to Turkey, they're all Christians. And when you get into Africa over there, they're all Muslims. So you got all these Arabs over there, Muslims. But you know, most of the Muslims in the world aren't Arabs. Out of a billion three, there's only about 300 million Arabs. And 300 million Arabs, you know, they don't represent the majority of Muslims. In fact, in Indonesia, that's about the third or fourth most populous country in the world. They got about 500 million people. I forgot exactly now, but there's a bunch. And they're all Muslims. And so, you know, you got the Pakistanis over there. And then in India, this is a shocker. There are more Muslims in India than any other country in the world. And I thought they all moved out of India and went up to Pakistan or got the hell out of there, but they didn't. A lot of them did. And then they created Bangladesh and Pakistan, but Pakistan, east and west broke up, and now you got this little country called Bangladesh. And so they're all Friday keepers now. And so you got these Friday keepers and you got these Sunday keepers. They represent nearly everybody in the world. Now picture this. You got 6 billion people in the world. 6.5, I think it is right now. 6.5 billion people. All right, that's 6,500 million people. So you got 6,500. I'm going to put that in my little computer. And then you got about 10 million people that are Sabbath keepers on Saturday. Saturday. Most people keep Sunday. They're sun worshipers. And about 1.3 billion are Friday keepers. And there's about 10 million in the entire world that keep the Sabbath on Saturday. So if you're a Sabbath keeper, let's just divide this up. If we were to take 10 million, let's see if I can do this. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There I got 10 million divided by 65 million. 3, 6. Yep, that'll do it. Well, that's 15. No, that ain't right. Can't be. 15 looks like about 1.5%. Is that correct? And if I was to take 10 divided by 650, 10 divided by 650, let's see what that works out to be. Yeah, 0.015%. I mean, you know, you're talking about 0.1%. An insignificant number of people practice this on Saturday. And that's what the God of the Bible claims he wants you to do. He wants you to keep the seventh day. The seventh day. All right. Now, we know that Jesus had it right. Well, at least we're pretty sure he had it right. He said he had it right. And the Scripture is the source and authority that tells you to practice the Sabbath day. And if that's true, then the Saturday then is the day called the Sabbath from the Hebrew Scriptures. you know, like it or lump it, but that's the conclusion we're left with. But there's some more evidence comes in here concerning this thing called Sabbath. Now, in the early days, these people were called Christians. So that's what we're calling them here today. I don't know if these people called themselves Christians. The word Christian only appears in the Bible three times. That's it. I mean, it's in there three times. And twice it was dealing with the Apostle Paul, and he missed his opportunity because the Apostle Paul never called himself a Christian. Not once. In the two cases where the Apostle Paul was the subject matter of this Christian name calling, he was in trial both times, and there was a judge here, I think his name was Festus or something like that. I don't know if he was working for Matt Dillon or what, but anyway, Festus was the judge, and he said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Don't know what the context was, don't know why he said, "You almost, hey Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian." It could well be that the general people around him, the general population, were calling these people Christians. But these people weren't calling themselves Christians. Well, at least not from the biblical point of view, not from the record in the Bible. Paul, when he was asked, he said, "I am a Hebrew. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews." Those were his words. Now remember, Paul didn't write anything. It was all written by the Holy Spirit. It was written by God himself. So here's Christ, God, here's the Messiah, writing the New Testament through his secretary Paul. And he inspired Paul to say, "Hey, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews." Paul identified himself from the tribe that he came from. It was Benjamin. He wasn't a Jew. He kept the Sabbath. He was a Hebrew. He was not a Christian. Never called himself a Christian. Now, Paul had a lot of opportunity there. He could have said, "I am a Christian." You know, since the word Christian appears in the New Testament three times, he could have said, "Hey, I'm one of them Christians. I've changed sides. I'm joining up." But he didn't do that. And the Holy Spirit did not inspire him to say that. I think that's pretty significant. And that always makes me wonder, well then why do the few Christians in the world who call themselves Christians and practice the Sabbath call themselves Christians? I think I'd call myself anything but that, and I've said this a time or two in the past, that don't call me a Christian. You know, I'm just not one of them. Now why is that? Because I don't practice what they practice. You know, if you stop and think about it, what is it that Christians practice? What is it that they do? What is it that's unique to the Christians that I don't do? Well, let me give you a couple of illustrations. Christmas is the chief holiday of the Christians. And in Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6, it says, "Don't practice Christmas." I don't. Christians eat pig. That's why I call them pig-eating Christians. Leviticus 11, verse 7 says, "Don't eat pig." I don't. Christians practice Easter. Jeremiah 44, verses 17 through 19 says, "Don't do that." I don't. Now, I could go through 82 of those. I'm just going to cover three because I don't want to bore you to tears. I'm not here as an evangelist, you know, trying to get you to change your political designation or ideology or your religious ideology here. I just wanted to point out to you that there's 82 of these identifiers that the Bible says do this and Christians don't, or the Bible says don't do that and the Christians do it. Right? No, we got the same thing with the Muslims. Same. I'm not a Muslim either. Now somebody's going to write me an email and say, "Oh my God, you're anti-Muslim and anti-Christian." I'm not anti-anybody. But don't count me in them. You know, I'm not opposed to communists. But don't call me one of them because I'm not one of them. I don't practice communism. I think communism is a pretty poor political ideology. I think Christianity is a poor political ideology also. Just thought I'd point that out. Somebody's going to say, oh, we made a mistake. It's a religious ideology. No, it's politics. Christianity is politics. Now, in the first century, and I've got a document here. I'm going to read some of the history of this Sabbath keeping for you here, so that you can get a little flavor, you know, get a little understanding here as to where this Sabbath thing comes from. Back in the first century, the Christians were, the people that we call Christians, they didn't call themselves that, but we call them Christians, were practicing the Sabbath on Saturday, which is the same day the Messiah was done, which was the same day the Jews were done. See, when Jesus was here, he was going into the synagogue. Well, whose synagogues were those? Was Jesus running around building synagogues? No, not that I've never read anything in the scripture about Jesus building a single church. He said he's going to build his church, but those people didn't have any buildings over there. He went to the synagogue. People were meeting there. He stood up for to read. And so he was going to church on Saturday, just like the Jews were at that time. And then he was just having a great old time. He went in there and he met with them. He kept the Feast of Tabernacles and the Holy Day, same time they did. That's when they had it right. Now, since then, they've changed, but, you know, that time, everybody was doing it correctly. And the Sabbath and the Holy Days had his stamp of approval. Well, institution of the Sabbath. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work, which God created. Now, that's in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. So, the creation week is 7 days long. The physical creation was completed in 6 days, and there was one more day to complete the week. And that was the Sabbath day, the day that he rested. And he created it. So, it's a creation. And it wasn't created by the Jews, and it isn't Jewish. It is God's creation, and he did it himself. And it's not every God's creation. He's all by himself here. There's about 10 million people or less in the world today that practice this Saturday, seventh day Sabbath. Everybody else practices Friday or Sunday. Now, Jesus, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up for to read. That was in Luke 4:16. And here's Jesus again, and behold, one came and said to him, "Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to him, "If you will enter into life, keep the commandments." That's in Matthew 19:16-17. Jesus in Matthew 24 made an observation. Jesus asked his disciples to pray that in the flight from the doomed city of Jerusalem, they would not have to flee on the Sabbath day. This flight took place in AD 70, 40 years after the cross. His followers, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. That's Luke 23:56. So, Jesus' followers, after he was killed, he's dead, he's in the tomb, they rested on the Sabbath day. They wouldn't go out there and anoint his body with spices, not on the Sabbath. See, most people think because it's the Sabbath that it was Saturday. They misunderstand because they don't practice the annual Sabbath. Here's the way that deal came down, just for your edification here. The Passover that year, 31 A.D., was on Wednesday. Isaiah said he would be cut down in the midst of the week. What is the middle day of the week? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 3 days. Wednesday is the fourth day, the middle day of the week. Then there's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Wednesday, he dies, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's buried before sundown on Wednesday. He's in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Well, what Sabbath did they rest on? Thursday, which is the first day of unleavened bread. An annual Sabbath. Go to Leviticus 23. Remember that story? The seven annual Sabbaths. So here's Wednesday, the Passover day, is not a Sabbath. Thursday, the first day of unleavened bread, is a Sabbath. So on Friday, they went out and they bought the spices. And then they rested the Sabbath according to the commandment. And then Sunday morning, they went out to anoint his body with the spices that they bought on Friday, the day before the Sabbath. There were two Sabbaths that week, one annual and one weekly. Now, they get out to the tomb. It's before sunrise. And he was risen. He was already gone. Wasn't there. Pulled the pin. Flew the coop. That's right, because he said he would be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Now, if you count, it's very easy to do. Wednesday afternoon, 6 o'clock, he's buried. Thursday afternoon at 6 o'clock is one day. Friday afternoon at 6 o'clock is 2 days. Saturday afternoon at 6 o'clock is 3 days. Now, we don't have a record in the Bible that he was resurrected at 6 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The Bible's silent on that point. But we do know this. He was not resurrected Sunday morning. We know that because the Scripture does tell us that Sunday morning when they arrived, he was risen, past tense. And the sun hadn't come up yet. How's that for a plan, huh? Now this guy, Paul, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures in Acts 17, verse 2. Paul and the Gentiles. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And the next Sabbath came, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God in Acts 13. Here we find Gentiles in a Gentile city gathering on the Sabbath. It was not a synagogue meeting in verse 44 because it says almost the whole city came together. Verse 42 says they asked to hear the message the next Sabbath. And note this point. The Bible does not say it is the old Jewish Sabbath that was passed away, but the Spirit of God writing the book of Acts some 30 years after the crucifixion calls it the next Sabbath. Did you get that? It wasn't the old Jewish Sabbath. It was the next Sabbath. The Apostle John. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Revelation 1:10. Clearly shows the Sabbath to be the Lord's Day. Not Sunday. That's a misnomer. The word the Lord's Day in the Scripture refers to the Sabbath. So they come along and they say, okay, well, it's not the Sabbath. Everybody knows that. We can look at the Jews, and the Jews keep it on Saturday. So I'll know what day it is. Then we go to the Catholics and we ask them, well, what day is the Sabbath? And they say, well, Saturday, but we changed it to the Lord's Day on Sunday. And we call it the Lord's Day. Well, okay. But Sunday isn't the Lord's Day, and Deuteronomy 4 verse 2 prohibits you from making that change. And that's irrespective of the Pope who says, well, we got that authority. Oh, okay. And you can claim it if you want to, but it ain't true. Just because you're claiming it doesn't make it so. Now, there's not any city of the Grecians, nor any of the barbarians, nor any nation whatsoever, whether our custom of resting on the seventh day hath not come. That's Josephus. Notes and Queries on China and Japan, edited by Denny's, Volume 4, Number 7 and 8, page 100. Philo declares the seventh day to be a festival, not of this or of that city, but of the universe. McClatchy, Notes and Queries, Volume 4, page 99. So back in the first century, I mean, right after the Messiah died, those people were practicing the Sabbath, and they were practicing the Sabbath on the seventh day of the week. Early Christians, the primitive Christians, had a great veneration for the Sabbath. They spent the day in devotion and sermons. And it is not to be doubted, but they derived this practice from the apostles themselves, as appears by several scriptures to the purpose. It comes from a book called Dialogues on the Lord's Day, page 189, published in London, 1701. Thomas H. Moore. a Church of England divine. Early Christians, the Sabbath was a strong tie which united them with the life of the whole people, and in keeping the Sabbath holy, they followed not only the example, but also the command of Jesus. Second century Christians, the Gentile Christians observed also the Sabbath. Geisler's Church History, Volume 1. Early Christians, the primitive Christians did keep the Sabbath of the Jews. Therefore, the Christians for a long time together did keep their conventions upon the Sabbath, in which some portions of the law were read, and this continued until the time of the Laodicean Council, published in the Whole Works of Jeremy Taylor, Volume 9. In the early church, it is certain that the ancient Sabbath did remain and was observed together with the celebration of the Lord's Day by the Christians of the Eastern Church above 300 years after our Savior's death. A Learned Treatise of the Sabbath, page 77. Note, by the Lord's Day here the writer means Sunday and not the true Sabbath, which the Bible says is the Sabbath. This quotation shows Sunday coming into use in the early centuries, soon after the death of the apostles. Paul, the apostle, foretold a great falling away from the truth that would take place soon after his death. Now in Revelation 12:9, it tells us the whole world is deceived. If you can believe that statement, I'd say that's about right. I'd say that the whole world has been deceived concerning Sabbath. Now, if you take those 10 million people that claim to follow the Sabbath or claim to practice the Sabbath, I think if you were to find 1 in 100 that didn't buy, sell, trade, work, kindle a fire, forsake the assembling of himself together, or do his own pleasure, if you practiced all 7 of those, I'll bet you wouldn't find more than 1 in 100. And that's out of the people that actually practice the Sabbath on the correct day, on Saturday. So if you want to know how many people in the world actually keep the Sabbath day holy according to the commandment, you're talking about 1 in 100. Well, let's just take 10 million and then divide that by 100. How many have I got there? There's one. Let's go with 10 million divided by 1 in 100. 100. You'd have about 100,000. Today, in the world today, there might be maybe 100,000 people living and breathing on planet Earth today that actually practice the fourth commandment. Out of 10 million that claim to, there might be actually be 100,000. Maybe. Yeah, I'm about out of time again, kids. I'm going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. So if you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Here, time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.